Attention this morning is our gospel reading just read from Matthew chapter 6. You may be seated. This evening and throughout the season of Lent, we will be singing the hymn, O Love, How Deep. And our choir is going to sing it for us this evening in just a little while, at least a few stanzas of it. And the first stanza of it goes like this: O Love, how deep, how broad, how wide, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortals' sake. As we begin this journey of faith throughout this season of Lent, we do so through that lens of God's love. That love which is ours through Christ Jesus our Savior. And we're going to be looking at that hymn, O Love, How Deep. And we're going to use it as an aid for us to help us reflect upon what that love of God really is. And how we can grab hold of such a big, such an amazing thing. Part of the problem with self-examination, the challenge with it, is that we do so always looking and considering our own sin and unworthiness. Every time that you set yourself up in comparison with Jesus, you will see how woefully short you come up. And in that gospel for tonight, Jesus exhorts the disciples and the gathered crowds not to practice their righteousness in front of others. He says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And furthermore, don't let your prayers become an excuse to show off how good a Christian you are, as the Pharisees and the Sadducees would do. It's hard though, isn't it? Because we want to get credit for the work that we do. And how can I get credit for the work that I'm doing if no one sees it? So when I do something that I think is a good work, really what I want is some acknowledgement. Maybe not somebody to throw a parade for me, but at least some recognition that I've done a good thing. And I have to imagine that many of you are like that as well. Yet this Ash Wednesday, as we remember our good works, we remember that Christ calls us not to display them as the hypocrites do. Think back to those words that you just heard as that cross of ash was placed on your forehead. Remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. It's as if I, the pastor, saying to you, what good are good works really? Because we're all going to return to dust anyway. But then that hymn that you'll hear in a little while, the one that we're going to be singing throughout this Lenten season, it goes on to say that Jesus took on our mortal form for mortals' sake. That means that Jesus knows your mortality. He knows your sins. He knows your struggles. And he also knows that you're going to die because of that sin. We all will. And yet he still loves you. And we try to understand that love. But the love of God, it isn't a math question. It isn't something that we can act like we understand or we figured out somehow. It's not like we can say, I love sunsets. And wasn't there a beautiful sunset this evening? It wholly distracted the confirmation class. So you can't say, I love sunsets, so I must understand the love of God. It doesn't work like that. Even though we know that he gives us these wonderful things, he gives us so much more than that. The love of God is higher, broader, and deeper than we can ever imagine. It's as the hymn says, beyond all thought and fantasy. The love of God is the very thing behind the word mystery. And that word mystery doesn't mean the same thing as a puzzle. With a puzzle, you can figure it out, and then you're done. But with a mystery, the more that you come to understand, the more aware that you are that you really know nothing. And the mystery of the love of God penetrates to the very heart of the Christian faith. It's what makes Christianity different from every other religion or faith. It's what shapes us as people. It's what inspires us. It's what moves us forward. But love is not something to be understood. Not really. No, love is a gift that is ever growing, ever changing. Why is that? It's because the love of God is always moving toward you. Even as you, the sinner, you're going to confess. You're going to confess in just a moment all of the sins that you have committed, those you know about, those you are unaware of. And even as God hears about all of that, He continues to move toward you. Not away from you, but toward you. We run around, we parade our good works, and we try to convince both the world and our own hearts that somehow we're worthy of this love that God has given to us. But in doing all of that, all we're doing is running around in circles. Because no number of prayers, no fasting or outward acts of piety will ever bring you closer to God. You need a go-between. You need a bridge. You need an intermediary who will bear your grief and who will carry your sin. What you need is Jesus. So comes this day and this season and the call to repent of your sins. Don't let that dust of ash on your forehead be a sign of your piety and self-righteousness. Instead, let it be for you and for those around you a sign of the death that you inherit apart from Jesus. It's a sign of what we truly deserve. And like that ash, I'm sorry to tell you, is not going to wash off all that easily later on. And like that, the more you try to rub out your sins on your own, the dirtier and the messier they become. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His Son Jesus to the cross to die for our sins and to rise again so that we may have life. And that's a mystery that's beyond all of our human comprehension. And it's a treasure that's beyond price. It's a gift that can only come by grace. Come this day. Come to receive forgiveness. Come to the table that's been prepared for you. Because here you will not eat the dust of the earth. But here at this very altar, you will eat the very body and blood of Christ. Here you are drawn into the very life of God for you. It is indeed a mystery, but it's a mystery that's beyond all thought and fantasy. That God would take on your mortal form so that you may live. And in exchange, He gives you His life, His works, His very self. Amen.